to the book of Galatians. We know that the theme here through Victory Outreach International, not just within Milwaukee, but all over the world in over 33 countries right now and growing. We know that the theme is the time is now. And I want to title this morning's message, "The Time is Now to Be at the Feet of Jesus." We've been speaking on vision and purpose. I open up with a point here this morning that reads, "A vision protects you from me being misguided by good alternatives." I'm going to say that once again. I'm going to read it once again. "A vision protects you from being misguided by good alternatives." I open up with a question here this morning. What's your purpose? Do you know your purpose? Are you still just coming to church? And if you do know your purpose, I ask a second question. What are you doing to align yourself to the purpose that God has placed within your life? It's one thing to know your purpose, but when you're trying to fulfill the purpose of God within your life, you need to have a plan, an alignment plan, that what you're going to do in order to be able to fulfill the purpose of God within your life. There's areas that the enemy will use good alternatives to distract you, to deceive you from fulfilling the purpose within your life. And the enemy will not only deceive you with good alternatives, but he also will deceive you with sin if you allow him to. You see, the work of the morning, the work of the enemy here this morning is to deceive you, to distract you in aligning yourself with fulfilling the purpose of God within your life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, I'm going to be speaking this morning on not allowing the enemy to distract you. Galatians 5, 7 says, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" This very familiar portion of scripture here tells me that you could be running a good race, that you could be obedient to the truth of the Lord, and that things or a person could step in and distract you from obeying the truth. When I read, "You were running a good race," I see a man, I see a woman, I see a youth person doing what God has called them to do. I see an action word, running. The Bible says you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? You see, it's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to obey the truth. You see, when you're obeying the truth of God, You're running that good race. You're fighting that good fight. So hear this scripture this morning as we open up with the service. We've come to find out that we can be doing the will of God. And if we're not careful, the enemy can step in and use a certain person or thing to allow us to end up just knowing the truth, but not obeying the truth, not running with the truth, and becoming that man of God, that woman of God, that youth of God that is growing, always growing. As you go down a little bit further in Scripture to verse 10, Paul speaking in the Bible says, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty. Whoever he may be, whoever she may be, Paul starts off by saying, I am confident in the Lord. Galatians says, who did you allow to step in on you? Paul was speaking from experience, knowing that many things were trying to step in on his race and fulfilling the call of God upon his life. Paul here had reached the place where he was confident in the Lord. He was so confident that he knew that those that were coming against him, that the Lord was the one that was going to take care of them. I believe there was a time in Paul's life where he would deal with the individual that was trying to come in on what God was doing in and through his life. It takes maturity to reach a place in your walk with the Lord when somebody comes against you and you're so confident in the Lord that you can look at the individual and say, God bless you. Jesus is going to handle you. Jesus is going to take care of you. How many know that we're so quick when that person's talking this or that about us that we want to take care of it? But Paul says, chill out. Be confident in the Lord. You stay focused. Don't allow that person to continue to distract you any longer. Don't allow that thing to continue to distract you any longer. There's an injustice taking place. The Lord will deal with that person. Be confident in the Lord. I'm going to be speaking about distraction, being distracted by the enemy. And he uses more than just addiction, the opposite sex. There's many things that the enemy uses to deceive us, to distract us from being led of the Spirit, being obedient to the truth, not just knowing the truth. The devil lets you learn God's word inside and out. He knows it inside and out. But when you start obeying the truth, that's when the enemy is no longer happy. No better story but the story of Martha and Mary as we go to the book of Luke chapter 10 here this morning. And the Bible reads, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, let's go to 38 all the way to 42 right now. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. I need everybody paying close attention right now. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I ask that you put me to the side here this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. I pray that you go to every man, woman, and youth here this morning, and that you speak to them in such a way that they would listen to what you have to say in order not just to hear the truth, but to abide in the truth, to obey the truth. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Here in verse 38, the Bible reads, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him." We're going to be looking into the life of Martha and Mary, more so Martha, to learn from her mistakes, amen, than Mary. And verse 38 says that it was Martha that opened her home, not only to Jesus, but unto his disciples as well. But I put here, her character was still incorrect. Even though she opened her home to Jesus and his disciples, her character was still incorrect. This tells me that we can let Jesus into our heart as Lord and Savior and still continue to miss it. That we got to go beyond being saved in order to grow in the things of the Lord. Remember the word character I spoke a few Sundays ago. The definition for the word character is how you think, how you feel, and your behavior. Amen? Let's look into the character here of Martha. For one, we know that she was giving. The Bible records there in verse 38 that she opened her home unto Jesus along with the disciples. And I believe she was going to cook all kinds of food, and commentary said that it was a big home for the mere fact that it could accommodate all the disciples and Jesus, Martha, Mary, Lazarus. That Martha had a nice home. Terry, neighbor, Martha had a nice crib. We know that she was a giver. She opened her home to Jesus and the disciples. To take care of all the preparations, verse 40 says. Go to verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she not only was a giving person that opened her home to allow Jesus and the 12 disciples in, and there was probably more people there. There might have been some more disciples with the Lord that day. Nevertheless, Martha had a big home. She had to prepare not just a plate or two of food, but many plates of food. Amen. She was a giving person. She also was a brave person, because at that time, the persecution on the life of Jesus, amen, she also was brave to take in Jesus and the disciples. She was a giving person. She was a brave person. I truly believe that I put here, she was a good person. Martha was a good person. She wanted to do what was right. And I believe here this Sunday morning, we have a lot of good people that want to do what is right. But because of our character flaws, we can miss it, even though we're good people. Even though we want to do what is right, and that's why we're here this morning. We know that we're good people. There's a desire within our life to do what is right. And I believe Martha had all this going for her. A third thing she had going on, she not only was a giving person, a brave person, but John 11:5 says, this is very important. The book of John, chapter 11, verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So we come to find out, as we look into the character of Martha, that she was a giving person, a brave person. And most important of all, she was loved by Jesus. Tell your neighbor, I don't care what's going on with you right now, Jesus loves you. Question. On paper right now, Martha's looking pretty good. She's a good person. See, we all look good until the pressure comes. Until we're corrected. Until we're told something that we know we're wrong in, and we still try to play it off like we're being obedient to the truth. You might be able to fool me this morning, but you ain't fooling Jesus. He's the one that's going to bring the promotion, not me. He's the one that can love you unconditionally. I'm still in the process of being able to do that. Question, where did she fail? She became distracted. She became distracted. The pressure came. She had to make all the preparations for all these men in the home. And through the pressure, a good thing having the company called Jesus and his disciples at your house should have been something great. But even though Jesus was in the house, right in front of Jesus, she would allow the pressure to come and distract her from doing what was right. Jesus was even in the same room looking at her. I believe Jesus is here this morning in this room. And he's seen into your heart what's really been going on. We look good on the outside. We smell good on the outside. But is there truly a sweet aroma going to the nostrils of the Lord from your walk this day? The word distracted in the Greek, as we go to verse 40, we're there already. It means to draw around, to twist, to be drawn here and there. You're all over the place. Means to drive around, to twist, to be drawn here and there. She became distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. I'm going to know that every day we wake up, there's a lot of things we need to do. And in the course of doing these things, because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we allow the enemy in to distract us in fulfilling the purpose within our lives. She became distracted by the load and the cares and the need of others. I know what that one's about. I always tell myself, it's just me, my wife, and my kids, and that's all I had to take care of. That would be a cakewalk, which 75% of this world fails in. But it's like I'm taking care of the church, and the cakewalk part, I don't take care of that area. Because I can be distracted with the load, the cares, and the needs of others. You can become a distraction to the pastor. Let me have a drink of water after that one. And on the same breath, tell me that you love me. She became distracted by the load, the cares, and the needs of others, which allowed her to lose sight of her priority. Not priorities, priority, which was Jesus. I put here, the work of the enemy is to use whatever. When I say whatever, I mean whatever. In order to distract us in putting Jesus first. That's the work of the enemy here this morning and every day. He knows that there's a tall order that we got to take care of every day. And if he can distract us, he wins. In losing priority, she became aggravated. See, when you're out of position and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're doing stuff on the side you shouldn't be doing, you will become aggravated, critical of others, and blaming everybody else because you're distracted. You've been distracted by the enemy. Here, The life of Martha was distracted. You would have think she would have known better. By all means, Jesus was in her house. All his disciples, all eyes were on her and Mary. He came in dirty, hungry. All eyes were on her. You would have think Martha could have faked it at least on that day. You see, when the enemy's able to distract you, you can't even fake it. Especially being the people that we used to be. Amen? When we lose our priority in putting Jesus first within our lives, we can become aggravated, critical of those who are not helping. In Luke 10, verse 40, where there it says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him," who is Jesus, amen? "She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" Here Martha had become so distracted, so aggravated, that she was not only mad at Mary, but even mad at Jesus. I've seen so many people get mad at Jesus. And as they tell me why, I find out very quick that they have been very distracted. That something has come in and distracted them to the point where they're not even mad at the person, but they're also mad at Jesus for allowing it to take place. But the truth is that individual brought that upon themselves. They got distracted to the point where it even became the fault of Jesus. See, when the enemy distracts, he just don't distract to allow you to be distracted, but he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the beginning part of the process is to distract you. When you're distracted, it allows you to your character to short circuit, to start thinking wrong, getting in your feelings, all the way to now your behavior. Now your behavior has changed, and I'm able to pick up on a changed behavior. I may not be able to see your thinking, but I'm able to see an individual when they go in their feelings. I'm able to see an individual when their behavior starts to change. They're still talking like nothing's wrong, but their behavior, their body language has changed. They've allowed the enemy to come in and distract them. When you're ever become distracted by the enemy, your thinking will be off, you'll get into your feelings, and your behavior will change. What's up with sister such? Man, she was so nice. 8 months I've known her. What happened to her? What's up with that brother? He was doing so great. What happened to him? He allowed himself to be distracted. She was running a good race, but they allowed the work of the enemy to step in and distract them to a point of aggravation, being critical. In verse 41, It's not the director in the house of Martha. It's not the pastor in the house of Martha. Jesus is in the house of Martha. And she's telling him what time it is. Because the house needed to be clean. The food needed to be made. There was men that were dirty and things. She was under pressure, and Jesus is looking at her, and he finally gets to the place. He's sitting there. Amen. Mary's sitting at his feet. Martha's running all over the place. She's doing good. She continues to see Mary doing nothing at the feet of Jesus. See, that's the good thing about being at the feet of Jesus. You don't have to do nothing. You just need to sit sometimes at the feet of Jesus. And by sitting at the feet of Jesus doing nothing, he's able to do everything for your life. And Jesus just adoring Mary. He's sitting down. I believe he's tired. They didn't have cars or planes and buses and trains. I believe his dogs were tired. He's sitting there tired, and he just wants some peace. And Martha's running around, and finally she lets Mary have it and him have it. So then Jesus said, whoa, Martha, back it up a little bit. Martha, this is Jesus. I'm Jesus. I'm the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. You're talking to Jesus right now. Be careful. Martha. The Bible says whenever the Lord uses the same word twice, it's of high importance. He was concerned for Martha. He's seen Mary at the feet of, at his feet. Amen. His disciples were resting. Everybody was resting, and Martha's running all over the place. Distracted. And he said, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. See, it would be okay if we could get distracted and just be worried about one thing. But when we, you and I, get distracted, we become worried about many things, and all these thoughts, a flood of thoughts, enter our mind. The Bible says, be careful that you don't allow your mind to become the devil's playground. Before you know it, you got all these devils running in your mind, and you're distracted, and everybody else, even Jesus, is wrong but you, the distracted one. And here, Jesus calls out to the life of Martha. He was concerned. He loved her. The Bible said, earlier scripture there, that Jesus loved Martha. That he was concerned about her. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. But yet Mary, on the other hand, in verse 39, the Bible reads, that she had a sister called Mary. This is Martha. Had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Not to what Martha had to say, the distracted one. But here in the midst of what was taking place in this living room, there was two voices speaking. One was Martha, the distracted one, and the other one was the voice of Jesus. And the Bible says that Mary chose to listen to what Jesus had to say. See, you can be in the same household One's hearing everything the enemy has to say, and the other one's hearing everything Jesus has to say. You can be in the rehabilitation home, and some are listening to what the enemy has to say, while others on the same couch you're sitting on are hearing what Jesus has to say. You could be in the church here this morning listening to my voice, with your toes being stepped on right now, hearing what the enemy is saying, while some of you are hearing what Jesus has to say here this morning. The Bible records in verse 39 that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. Mary was not only in position, she was listening to what Jesus had to say. She did not, I put here, take his message lightly. Some of you right now are listening to every word. And like my mom and dad will always say, boy, I say one thing, it goes in one ear and it goes out the other ear. It's going in one ear and out the other ear. That's what was taking place with Martha. But with the life of Mary, she was not taking the message of Jesus lightly. She was spiritually hungry, for Jesus was in the house. You need to prepare yourself before you come to church, so when you enter, that you're here no longer to hear what the enemy has to say, because you've been hearing them all week. But you prepare yourself and anticipate to be able to hear from Jesus. It's only right. We're in the house of God, that we should hear from Jesus this Sunday morning. The Bible records in verse 39 that Mary was sitting at his feet. She was in a humble state, in a humble position. Now remember, I opened up with commentary says that Martha had a big crib, a big house, for the Joy 1340 listeners. Amen? It was as if there was a big sofa there. There was a big house. Martha's house was big. Jesus is like, he's tired. He's sitting on the sofa. Mary could have been sitting next to Jesus if she wanted to. Martha had a big house. There's nothing wrong sitting next to Jesus. But here the Bible records that Mary was sitting at the feet, in other words, on the floor. In a nice house, a big nice house, I believe there was plenty of room besides Jesus. But Mary, as soon as Jesus walked in, was sitting at his feet in a very humble, grateful positioning in having Jesus in her very own house. In verse 42, the Bible, here Jesus getting back to Martha, he's speaking to her life and he's speaking to us this morning. The Bible records that she had many problems. But here the words of Jesus says in verse 42, but only one thing is needed. There in verse 41, Jesus would tell her, you are worried about many things. But when we get to verse 42, it looked like Martha was all messed up. She was angry with Mary, angry with Jesus. There was no way back for her. But in verse 42, as Jesus would continue to speak to her, he says, but only one thing is needed. And I believe here this Sunday morning, you might be feeling like there's a thousand things wrong with you. There's a thousand things you must do in order to get the attention of the Lord. But here, as he was speaking to Martha that had many problems, he tells her in verse 42, but only one thing is needed. And he gives her the answer to that one thing that was needed. He goes on to say, Mary has chosen what is better. What Martha was doing, the cleaning of the house, preparing of the food, the welcoming in of Jesus and disciples, all that was important, it was needed, but it was not priority. He says, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What was the answer? The only thing that Martha needed, the only thing that you and I needed, what was the answer? It was what Mary was doing, not only at the feet of Jesus, but hearing the words of Jesus. That's what Martha needed, just to do one thing, the one thing Mary was doing. The Bible don't record that Mary was having conversation with Jesus or anything. She was just simply sitting at his feet and hearing what he had to say. It blows my mind when I'm counseling someone that has just done something really dumb, and all they want to do is say their part. Like if it's going to take care of why I brought them in to counsel them. Mary nowhere opened conversation with the Lord. She was, the Bible says, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was the one that was talking. Martha was just had to do one thing. And the one thing was what Mary was doing, to be still and sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his words. I put here, distractions take the place of Jesus when he is not put first. Distractions will take the place of Jesus when he is not put first. And I put here just a simple point. What's able to take away the word of Jesus? Distractions. The flip side to that is, what's able to take away distractions? Jesus' word. Here, Martha was distracted because she was not listening to the words of Jesus. Here, Mary wasn't distracted because she was listening to the words of Jesus. She was in obedience to the word. It was almost like Martha was saying, I already heard that Bible study. As the piano player makes his way up here. I believe the reason at times that we get very distracted is because we're not spending quality time with the Lord. I'm no better than anybody here this morning. And because that's the truth, I got to spend time with Jesus. I got to spend time with Jesus. I got to spend time with Jesus where I'm conveying to him, I'm speaking to him, pouring out my heart. And then I spend time with Jesus at the end where I'm no longer saying nothing. I just got a piece of paper and a pen. Casey happens to give me a thought. It works. It works. It's kept me for 20 years. I was speaking with an individual in the office this morning before the service. And I was making claims that I hadn't drank a beer in 20 years. I hadn't smoked a cigarette in 20 years. And for that individual to believe me, I go, on the life of Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie. You believe me now, right? I would dare lie that lie. I haven't smoked a cigarette in 20 years. Individual told me, I believe you, Pastor. And I went on to make all these big states about not being with a woman in 20 years. On the life of Pastor Sonny, Senior Agazzoni, and Julie. Not even a phone number. Nothing. I said, spending time with Jesus works. It works. And too many times we let ourselves become distracted by what the day has to offer. Instead of not being distracted because of what Jesus has to offer. I says, prayer and word works. I go, look at the rehab right now. What's the one? Those guys are coming straight off the streets. Heroin addicts. Coming straight off the streets. What is the only thing that they're doing different that they weren't doing in the streets? And that's being in prayer and hearing the word. Prayer and word works. Spending time at the feet of Jesus works. It works. It's able to keep you at peace when you should be going crazy with everything that has to be done in the course of the day. One thing you need, Martha, just one thing you need. Too many times we think we're all messed up and it's just one person we need. His name is Jesus. And he alone can change your life. And he only. And too many times we choose to put ourselves under pressure to go do 1,000 things. If anybody's a busybody, it's your pastor. Instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus, humbled, knowing that we need him, and that part of our day cannot be rushed or left undone. Martha was starting her day without Jesus. The Bible reads in John 11, 1 and 2. This was inside of the life of Mary. It was in her character. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. tells me Mary was a broken sister. Once again, at the feet of Jesus. It was the same Mary. She was so grateful in what the Lord did for her life. She knew her past well. She says, I'm just not anybody. I'm somebody that needs to remain at the feet of Jesus.